Acharyendram karakalita chinmutramanandamurtim. Acharyendram karakalita chinmutramanandamurtim. Swatma raman muttavadanam dakshina murtimide. Swatma raman muttavadanam Dakshinamurtide Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari Tulyam nijam targatam Vashyam natmani mayaya bahirivo Bhutam yata nitraya Yasakshra kurute prabodha samaye Svatmanameva Dvayam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaham Shri Dakshinamurtaye Bijasyantarivam Kuro Yaganidam Tamir Vikalpam Punaha Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana Vaichitrya Chitri Kritam Maya Viva Vidhim Vayavya Vimaha Yogi Vayasvechaya Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Asya yuvas puranam satatma kamasat kalpartagam bhasate Sakshatatvam asiti veda vachasa yobodhayatyashritam Yat sakshat karanat bhavena punaravrtir bhavam bodhidau Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaham Shri Dakshina Murtaye Nana Chitra Ghatodarasthita Maha Deepa Prabhava Swaram Jnanam Yasya Tu Chakshuradhikarana Dvara Bahispandate Janamiti tameva bhantam anubha Yetat samastam jagate Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Deham pranam apindriyanya pichalam Buddhim cha shunyam viduhu Shri Balandha Jadopama Swahamiti Branta Grishambadina Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Maha Vyamoha Samharine Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Rahu Grasta Viva Karendu Sabrisho Maya Samachadana Sammatra Karanopa Samharanato Yodhutsu Shuktas Puman Praga Swapsamiti Prabodha Samaye Yah Pratya Vinyayate Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye
Let's take a moment and then I'll break the sandhi. Om Tat Sat. Sindhi, verse 6. Rahu Grasta, Rahu Grasta Diva. I didn't do this, did I?
You did.
Yeah.
I did last time. Okay, so I thought it seemed familiar. Okay, so let me translate. Rahu Grasta means an eclipse. Grasta means swallowing. So Rahu is swallowing the sun and the moon. So Divakara, the sun, Indu, the moon, Sadrishaha. So just like the sun and the moon being swallowed by the eclipse, right? How it's covered by, it means being swallowed by Rahu, or Sadrishaha means just as, like the Devakara, the maker of the day, Diva's day, so the maker of the day, and Indu, the moon. So just like the sun and the moon, when eclipsed, or when they're swallowed by Rahu, Maya Samachadanat, from being covered, Samachadana, from the covering of Maya. And sam is that samyak, it's well covered. Okay, so being well covered by Maya, Sanmatraha, being alone. So if I'm the Sat Chit Atma, they're really saying, is in the deep sleep, as we'll say at that time, I just simply am. I am not knowing anything. I am self-evident, Sat Chit consciousness, without any participation in the creation, because the mind has gone into unmanifest state. So Sanmatraha, when matra comes at the end of a compound, or in the middle of a compound, means simply that alone. So simply being Sat, being itself. Why? Karana means the sense organs and organs of action. Karana upasam haranataha. That taha ending is an indeclinable ending that has the sense of the ablative of the fifth case. So from the resolution or the withdrawal of the sense organs, yaha puman, yaha abut sushuptaha puman, yaha puman, that person who has slept, abut, who is now has slept, so that one who is asleep, I guess you can say, yaha hu, that puman, it's really the atma, but the atman, the supadi, okay, so that one who has slept, then because of sleeping, the supadi, right? Because of sleep, because of sleep, all of the sense organs and the mind itself are withdrawn into their seed or into their causal condition. So because you're sent the sattva, because the sattva, that which reflects consciousness in the form of the mind and the sense organs, all of them are withdrawn and in unmanifest condition. And so when that's the case, I simply am being, the Sat Chit. It's not just, there's no such thing as being without Chit. But I'm not enjoying any type of knower known relationship, subject-object relationship, because the upadi, the mind, the sattva, is in unmanifest condition. So there's no mind there that's saying, oh, I'm sleeping, right? Because the mind itself is in unmanifest condition. The sense organs in unmanifest condition. And so then what is my experience? From the standpoint of the upadi, it's, I don't know anything, as we'll see. Without the words, there's no duality, there's no experience of the creation. And so I just simply am sanmatraha, my being alone, without any exchange with Maya. Okay? So he says, because the karanas, you can take it antakarana too, the mind, the sense organs, the jnanendriyas, right? And the karmendriyas, the sense organs and the organs of action, and the antakarana, that inner instrument, antaha, karana, that instrument which is inside, means the mind, it's named for the mind, the whole mind that has the four different types of thinking. So at that time, because of the covering of Maya, right? How is it covering? Because all of the sense, it's covering anyway. Maya is always covering, right? As long as you have an upadhi, you are situated within maya, right? And enjoying subject-object relationship, whether in the waking state or in the dream state. Maya is still covering, right? In the sense that you're experiencing the world. But now what about when the sense organs and the mind go into unmanifest condition? Then the experience that the Atma, as the is-knownness, the conscious being that you are, is simply lighting up that ajnanam. Right? The ajnanam, remember I was talking yesterday about the twofold shaktis of maya? For Ishwara, it's only the kshepa shakti, the maya, the power of maya to manifest as the whole creation. But for the jiva, that manifestation of the creation allows still me to have my own shakti. I can dream, I can imagine, I can create. But I also have what's called avarna shakti, the shakti of ignorance because of the limitation of the upadhi. And now in deep sleep, I have what we call three avastas, the waking state. Avasta means a state of experience. The waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. In the waking state and the dream state, my mind is awake. And so the glory of maya, my prarabdha, all of the vrittis are there, flowing through. The subject-object relationship is there. My sense organs are functioning. Okay? But my mind is functioning in both. Okay? Sense organs on a subtle level, subtle sense organs, not the physical sense organs in the dream. But when you go into deep sleep state, the sense organs in the mind go into unmanifest condition. And so then what is the Atma illumining, right? It's illumining the avarana, the maya in its causal condition, which for Ishwara would be like nirvikalpa samadhi because there's no ajnanam there. But for the jiva, it's deep sleep, it's ajnanam, where I don't know anything. And so what he says here is that the puman, the one person who was asleep, because of being covered by maya, my being, was as though asleep from the standpoint of the upadhi, because of being completely covered by maya, because the sense organs and mind have gone into the unmanifest condition where there's avyakta, not manifest. They're in their causal condition, like a seed, the seed of the sprout. There is no duality being experienced at that time, so they're in their causal condition. And I am as though my being, from their standpoint, the standpoint of the mind and the sense organs, is as though been covered. As though been covered, because there's no comment, there's nobody saying I'm a conscious being. So it's as though covers. Just like the eclipse, as though covers. It covers from the one who's looking, right? Not in reality, there's no covering. But for the one who's looking, the sun is covered or the moon is covered. So here, because these sense organs are withdrawn, there's an as-though covering. Okay? Then it says, prak aswapsam iti prabodha samaye. But at the time of prabodha, samaye means at the time, prabodha samaye, at the time of waking up, then what does that puman, that person, say? He says, or she says, prak aswapsam, I slept. Yeah? And in some of the texts, it'll say, not just I slept, like you say you had a deep sleep, you're just, oh, so nice. You had a deep, deep sleep. You wake up, and then you say, I slept. And the other text will say, ah, I slept so well. I had such a good sleep. I didn't know a thing, right? I was out like a light. You say these things, yeah? I mean, in this English idiom, I was out like a light. I slept so well, I did not know anything. That's what we say at the time of waking. So here it says, the one who, at the time of waking up, says, I slept so well, I slept. The one who, at the time of waking up now, has pratyabhijñāyate, has this pratyabhijña. I talked about this a little in the last class, or the one before, the pratyabhijña. The pratyabhijna is a type of memory, a memory that is centered on yourself. So when you wake up, okay, now your mind is awake, your sense organs awake, the subject-object duality, the one who went to sleep, is now awake, basically. That's the key. The one who slept is now awake. So what that means is that I have a memory which is centered on myself, that this one who is here awake now is the one who was asleep, for whom nothing was known, right? See, I slept so well, I slept so deeply, I didn't know a thing, right? So how does that happen? How can I know? Two things. First of all, the pratyabhijna is I, the one who has been here, is the one who is asleep. So that's a type of memory centered on my own being. But there's something else that's really important here. And that is, I can describe, now that I'm awake, I can describe the deep sleep state to you. Just by when you say, I slept really well, I didn't know anything, I was out like a light. Some of the texts will say, it was like a big, and Swamiji will say, kind of joking, Puja Swamiji, I don't know anything. I didn't know anything. It was just one big, I don't know. Okay. That's a memory. You're having a memory of the deep sleep condition, in which state there is no subject-object reality. There is no knower known. In deep sleep, you're not saying, oh, I'm sleeping so well. Wow, it's wonderful. Look at it. In the deep sleep, I just don't know it. that knower known is not there, right? I am not a knower. In the deep sleep, I am, but I am not a knower. I'm not a seer. I'm not a hearer. I'm not a thinker. I have no form. So you go into deep sleep, but what's left awake, you know, is your form and your sense organs are all fine, but you're in deep sleep. That is not the experience. So all of the upadhis are as though for me, in terms of myself as the knower known, those upadhis are all resolved. I have no, this is important, I have no experience of the body, right? No experience of my sense organs, no experience of my memories, no experience of my relationships, no experience of being asleep. I am asleep means the mind is asleep, but it's not saying I am asleep. However, the sleep experience, which means that all of the upadhis are withdrawn in the sense of knower known, they're all withdrawn. But when I wake up, I have a memory of the mind which is in that condition, right? Because awareness doesn't go to sleep. Consciousness doesn't go to sleep. The sat-chit, my being, is not a knower. That is not my swarupa. That's not my nature. I simply am. I am conscious being. And when the upadhi, when the mind and sense organs are asleep, I'm very awake. But my awakeness is not ever about being a knower. My awakeness is just my own nature. Because I don't have any upadhis. I don't have any upadhis. I'm not objectifiable as someone who's someone existing, walking around in time and space. I'm the very conscious being. Not conscious being who is sometimes awake and sometimes asleep. If I was conscious being sometimes awake, sometimes asleep, I would have to be some form within the creation, because I'm changing. My nature's waking up and going to sleep. But for me, there is no waking up or going to sleep. I always am. I always am self-evident, conscious being, which in the time of deep sleep is illumining the mind, which is in an unmind sense organs, the sattva, which is in an unmanifest condition, in a causal condition, you know, in which there is no experience of duality at all. And so, one of the So anyway, the one, let me finish this. The one who has this pratyabhijna, you know, salutations to him who is Dakshinamurti, who is in the form of my guru. The only one that has the one who has the pratyabhijna, you can say, is the mind remembering my own presence. But what is enjoying the pratyabhijna, what is the subject of the pratyabhijna, I can make a pratyabhijna in reference to who? In reference to me. Because I can say that I, not the I which I take to be the body, because the body is not present experientially, I can be without the experience of the body, I can be without the experience of the mind or the sense organs or my memories or anything I'm attached to, you know. I can be without those experiences, but I can't be without myself. And so when I make the pratyabhijna, I can't say that, oh yeah, I was there, I had deep sleep, so I'm making a pratyabhijna. Yes, in deep sleep, I was there running around, you know, or in deep, and that's the same one who's running around here. Or in deep sleep, I was knowing so many things, just like now, how I know so many things. In the deep sleep, I was filled with all of these emotions, just like now, I'm filled with all of these emotions. That's not the pratyabhijna, because those things are not there experienced in deep sleep. The only pratyabhijna that I can make is toward me. The one who is here now is the one who is deep in deep sleep. But because the me, the Atma, but that has to, you have to see what that actually means for you. You can be without the experience of the universe. You can exist and be without the experience of subject-object duality, without the experience of knower known, without the experience of any type of objectification. You still are. But you are not, from the nature of your own being, anything that you can be without. Now, what's important to understand here, because your mind will probably say, yeah, well, when I'm asleep, you know, my body is still here and I'm still breathing, even if I'm not aware of it. Other people see me being here and breathing and everything, so I'm still here, even if I'm not aware of it. True. That's absolutely true. You are still here. The body is still here. The breathing is still here. The sense organs are there, asleep in unmanifest condition. Everything is still there. But that's not exactly what we're talking about. We don't deny everything is still there. We're talking about, who are you? What is your essential nature? What is the nature of your being? Because all of these things that are still there in terms of things that are objectifiable, that exist within time and space, that come into being and go out of being, they're still there for the time being. Right? These things are still there, but they still exist within Vyavahara, within Ishwara's Maya. They're not something that have any type of lasting substance of their own. It's kind of another issue. But that's important to understand. They're still there. They're still experienced by others, but your mind is in the unmanifest condition, and so they're not experienced by you. Even the fact that you have a mind, that you have knowership, not experienced by you, because at this time those qualities are not there. If you, whatever you can be without, is not you. Why? Because if you can be without it, right? It's not your swarupa. It's not your nature. This is important to understand. If I can be without any experience, even if under some conditions, such as deep sleep or coma or something like that, I can be without knowership. Knowership is not my swarupa. It's not my nature. That doesn't belong to me. Knowership doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the mind and the sense organs that are blessed by me. I am the conscious being. I am, in a sense, the knower of the knower. I am the consciousness which allows there to be knowership through the upadis of the mind and the sense organs. But from my standpoint, I'm not a knower. I'm just the satchit, the conscious being, which expresses through the sense organs in the mind, but without itself going undergoing any change. So if you can negate, if you can be without an experience, that's not who you are. You know, another thing that's really important, this important understanding about this, because Satchit Ananda, we tend to translate Ananda as bliss, right? So then you think, oh, you know, I don't know myself yet because I'm not having a bliss experience. I'm not very blissful, I'm just me, you know. There's no extraordinary bliss. I mean, if I should be the Atma and my nature is Ananda, that should just be like a home run. The most Ananda that is ever possible to be experienced, that is who I am. And you know what? I'm just not that right now. If you're not that right now, that's not who you are. That is not the nature of the Atma. Whatever they mean by Ananda needs to be recognized right now, no matter what the vritti. The Ananda can be recognized, needs to be recognized in a dukkha vritti. Not the dukkha vritti in terms of the mental modification, the mental emotional, the emotion that's taking place in the mind. If it's a dukkha vritti taking place, you know, then it's dukkha. The experience is dukkha. But your being is the one who allows the, who by your nature the experience of dukkha is known. That's who you are. You are not the experience of dukkha. The experience of dukkha suffering, dukkha means suffering, the experience of dukkha is mitya. Right? The experience of dukkha is mitya. It depends on you for its being, but it has no being of its own, and it's not covering you in any way. And so that's why it's a good meditation. We did just a little bit of it today, though I didn't sit with it with you, to just sit in the middle of the pain, sit in the middle of the dukkha, you know, and let that dukkha or that pain be blessed by you. Recognize yourself in the middle of that pain. Recognize the ananda of your being, you know, the beloved nature of your being in the middle of that dukkha. And then recognize the beloved nature of your being in the middle of the sukha vritti. And in the middle, as the very self of, in the middle means as the very self of the sukha vritti, as the very self of the just neutral vritti, and as the very self of the dukkha vritti. You have to know yourself is to recognize your being, which has the nature of is self-evident, that's the chit, which is priyam, the most dear, the most beloved. It's not about having, you know, a twinkling, you know, extraordinary bliss vritti, that belongs to the mind. The nature, the wholeness, the beauty, the beloved nature of yourself is so much more than any of that. Those things are pleasurable, extreme pleasures, you know, and the mind is capable of extreme pleasure and extreme pain, you know, and so you think, oh, this extreme pleasure is my ananda. How do I get to that? There's something much more beautiful than that. Much more. It's everything. And it's not about a changing bliss vritti. It's about the very, very beloved wholeness of your own nature that is never covered. Just like the sun is never covered by the clouds, this wholeness of your being is never covered. And so, for a long time probably, if you're like me, you feel that it is, you know. I used to even think, you know, Swamiji says that, but he doesn't know. Because it's not covered for him. He doesn't know because his mind, you know, doesn't cover it, but mine does. But mine doesn't. No mind covers it. So that isn't true. That means that you're looking at the mind, you're looking at the upadi, you know, the emotions. Your focus is on the emotions, not on your being. Your being is not covered at all. And that's why no matter what the vrittis that are generated or the deep sleep, or the thing is, in deep sleep, your mind is not going to be commenting on anything. So it's not going to be commenting on you either. It's just an unmanifest condition. But when you wake up, it comments, you know. But nevertheless, you're not erased. Your nature is not erased. There's just no commentator. If you went to deep sleep and think, okay, this is time for absolute non-existence, shunyam, absolute void, as some people mistranslate shunyam, absolute void. Now I'm going to have to go into that in deep sleep. Ooh. Do I want to do it now, or should we put it off for a little while? Because I'm going to go into this non-existent state. That's not true. We all love deep sleep, because in deep sleep I'm with myself without any obstruction. It's like Swamiji will say, total ajnanam is bliss. Not partial ajnanam is a problem, but total ajnanam, when the whole mind goes into that unmanifest, you just simply are. There's no chatter going on, there's no worries, there's no problems. It's like Bhagavan gives you every night the lazy man's samadhi. Because you don't have to do anything for it. That's why deep sleep is so very important to all of us. We need it. We need that sleep. We cherish that sleep. You know, it's a terrible when we can't go to sleep. You know, some of us who've had insomnia at different times, you know, you can't sleep, and all you want to do is to go into that really unmanifest condition where you can totally relax, just totally be yourself. There's no obstruction. You know, so it's a meditative state, in the sense that there's just pure ajnanam, and there is nothing interfering with you. You get to have that every night. You get to have it during your naps. You know, it's a very beautiful time. So here, this is in verse is important for a number of reasons. One of the main things is this verse. You can recognize that you, in fact, are not a knower. You are conscious being. You are the one who illumines the instrument of knowership, which the mind and sense organs enjoy. They are instruments that are seeing, thinking, talking for your being. But your being is not doing anything at all. They are like expressions. If you look at the whole creation, the sattva is something where your being is reflected in all different ways. And from the standpoint of the upadis are walking around being little knowers. I know this, and I know this, and I know this. And Ishvara is one infinite knower, only in the sense that the whole maya upadi, when it is there, is known because the sattva runs through it. But when the whole maya upadhi of Ishvara comes into an unmanifest condition, then there is no subject-object duality. There's no ajnanam for him either. But there's just a nirvikalpa samadhi. I'm just abiding as myself with maya in that an unmanifest condition, which is nirvikalpa. It means without any duality. And from the standpoint of all of the jivas are just in deep sleep. Because that's the condition of the causal body from the standpoint of a limited upadhi, limited mind. So my relationship with deep sleep, it's not that this deep sleep state is not known and objectified, as are all other states, like in the waking and the dream state. But the difference is that in deep sleep, there's no one to comment on it. So the experience becomes a memory. When you wake up, you then remember, the mind remembers, oh, I was in this condition. Like in the waking state, you have a memory, oh, a few minutes ago, I was doing this. I was in this condition. This is what was going on. It's a memory. Now I have a memory of the deep sleep. In the deep sleep, I didn't know anything. There's no experience of duality. It's just, I just love it. I love to be in deep sleep and with myself, because everything is just so relaxed. It was beautiful. You know, not knowing anything. I wasn't even talking, or I wasn't even there. It means it's body, mind, sense organs. imagine your love of going into a state where everything that you have identified with as yourself, including the ahankar, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, is not there. You don't mind at all. Why? Because that's all mitya, it's not you. There is no experience of loss of self. There's just a resolution of all the troubles that come out that fill the creation. You're totally relieved of all of that. So my salutations to the one who has that pratyabhijna, means the one who is the subject of that pratyabhijna, right? The one that who is the subject of that memory. It is me, right? I am the one, you know, that my mind recalls at the time of waking up. I am the one that the mind recalls. And that one that the mind recalls, you know, in terms of the self, I, like this, the mind recalls the deep sleep state, what that was about. But the one who had the deep sleep state, the mind recalls that too. And that one who is there in the deep sleep state, my salutations to that one, that is the Atma. Because in the deep sleep state, the body's not there, the mind is not there. None of these things I identify with is there, and yet I say, I had a deep sleep. And so because I claim that deep sleep as belonging to me, being my deep sleep state, who am I referring to? I'm referring to me, the Atma, not to the body, mind, sense organs, just to me, the one who is present in the deep sleep state. We'll see more about that in a minute. The next verse goes into this. Let's do that. Can we do the next verse in section?
Yo mudraya patraya tasmai shri guru murtaye namah idam shri dakshina murtaye.
Let me do the sandhi. Balya adishu, balyadishu api jagrat adishu tatha sarvasu avastasu api vyavritasu. These are all locative plurals. Vyavritasu anuvartamanam aham iti antas spurantam sada swatmanam prakati karoti bhajatam yaha mudraya patriya tasmai shri guru murtaye namah idam shri dakshina murtaye. Seen the top end of the top line, sarvasu avastasu. There is a prakriya, a teaching methodology called the avasta, same word, avasta traya sakshi. It's a teaching methodology, one of the prakriyas that we use in unfolding the vision. An avasta is a state of experience. So in one sense, there are many, many, many different states of experience that we have, you know, through all the experiences that I have. Well, this is a state of experience, this is a state of experience, a state of... But what we mean, we divide all of these variety of states of experience that we go through into three major states. So avastha traya. Traya means a group of three. Those three are the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. So we can divide all of our experience, all the experience available to me as a jiva, into these three states of experience as broad headings, broad categories. What we call the waking state is this: any state where I am experiencing the world through my sense organs. That's the waking state. The dream state is when I am having an experience, but my sense organs are not involved. So, for instance, the dream is the prime example for that. That the dream is filled with my own impressions, my own memories put into whatever form that is used to express something in the dream. That's how we say it from a Jungian perspective. All of the memories of duality that I have are put together in a form that is giving me a dream message that I can come into relationship with. But the important thing for us in Vedanta is that the dream state is any state of experience that I'm having, duality, subject-object, which is not utilizing my sense organs at that time. So, for instance, your imagination, the wandering of the mind, projections, and just the dream itself. But also included can be all of those situations where my mind is often wandering, not using my sense organs, like the wandering mind, the manas, the wandering mind, you know. Or even conditions that are generated by sense organs but leave my mind in a condition which is not utilizing the sense organs. So in a way, you can put emotions in there also, because the emotions, when those are occurring, I'm experiencing them, and probably they're producing a lot of images also, you know, a lot of associative thinking. I'm inside my own capsule, my own mental capsule. I'm not taking input in from the waking state. That's what we mean by dream, and any state of experience that is free from sense perception falls under that category, right? The deep sleep state also can include coma, or any state that I happen to be in where there is no, where there is just complete ajnana. There is a withdrawal of the mind and the sense organs. Different from samadhi, because in samadhi, when I'm just with myself, my mind is not asleep. Right? I'm awake. The awakeness of my mind is very evident to me. But in deep sleep, and whatever conditions that are there that can bring my mind and sense organs into a state of absolute, I don't know anything, that's what we call the deep sleep. So that deep sleep category, and we give the major ones. For the waking state is the waking state, you know. It's when I have sense perception. We could also maybe include nididhyasa, that when I'm just with myself because I'm totally awake, but normally it's waking state means, you know, when I'm using my sense organs in the subject-object relationship. So waking state, deep sleep, dream state, these are the three major avastas in terms of the cycle of my day. This is the cycle of my day. So here we have balyadishu, so the sarva avastasu apiyasat. So that says sarvasu avastasu. In every avasta, in every state of experience. But first it gives some that are the most common states of experience. In terms of the stages I go through in life, from childhood, balya, the state of childhood, and then there's the state of adolescence, the state of middle age, the state of old age. So these are all avastas, all states of experience that I go through, from babyhood to childhood to late, in psychology we call it latency, to being a teenager, to being a young person, to become the married life, you know, to becoming infirm, to becoming old, to dying. These are all the states of experience that this body goes through. That's balyadisha. So beginning with childhood, beginning with being a child, balyadishu, and then jagradadishu. Jagrat means the waking, the swapna. Where the waking is jagrat, then swapna is the sleep, and then shushupti is the deep sleep. So beginning with jagrat, the waking state, is these avastas. And it's similar, so in that api there means and, so balyadishu, in the state of childhood, etc., and in the avasta of waking, dream, deep sleep, similarly in that, in fact, that api, and in fact in every avasta, in every state of experience. And it says, so are you reading with me? Balyadishu api, jagradadishu tata, similarly, sarvasu avastasu, in fact, in all of them, api, vyavritasu, okay. All of these different states of experience, they are different from each other, you know? Like when I'm in the waking state, that is negated or replaced by the dream state, which is negated or replaced by, is a better way to think of it, it's replaced by the deep sleep, which is then replaced by the waking state. So they're continually changing and replacing each other. The state of infancy is replaced by the state of childhood. The state of childhood is replaced by the state of latency, which is replaced by the state of the teenage years, like that. So vyavritasu, in all of these states which replace each other, vyavritasu, anuvartamanam. Now, anuvartamanam comes from this word that we use often in Vedanta called anuvritti. The anuvritti is what remains, the one who abides there in every state, you know. So I am, in this instance, I remain anuvartamanam, remain being there, existing, following through. It's like a thread in a, sometimes they use the example of a thread in a necklace. The thread has an anuvritti. It's to be found there in every bead, right? Not just in one bead. It says an anuvritti. It follows through. It follows all of the beads. It's there to be found in every bead. So here the anuvartamanam, that which is following through, which is there in every single avastha. So it says this, aham. The aham, aham iti antaspurnam sada. Antaspurantam, antas means inside. Spurantam means that which is shining there. Sada means always. So that which is always shining there inside, in the form of aham, as I, right, is that which is always shining there inside as I, anuvartamanam, existing there, being, having an anuvritti, meaning existing throughout all of these states of experience, which themselves replace each other. So amidst all of the avastas, I am always there, inside, as though inside, shining inside, in what form? As aham. Now, because of this, what this is referring to, especially in this avastha traya sakshi prakriya that we use, when you think, I am the waker, I am the dreamer, I am the deep sleeper, right? I am the anuvritti there, because as me, I am the waker, I am the dreamer, I am the deep sleeper. Now, what is wonderful about this prakriya is that everything I identify with as myself in the waking state, I identify with myself as this particular person, with these particular set of relationships, with this body, with these sense organs, with these memories. What makes me me here as this embodied person here in the waking state? That is who I am. Okay? But when I go into the dream state, my experience is quite a bit different. I have a different world. I am in a different world, with a different body, with maybe a totally different set of friends, and maybe I look completely different also. You know, I could be old or young, I could be a man or a woman, I could even be an animal, I could be anything, or I could even not be embodied in that dream. And yet that anuvritti is there. I am, this is my dream, I am the dreamer who is the waker. So what's the pratibhijna there? Who is there that's the same? Experientially, who is there that is the same in the waking state and the dreaming state? It's not the world, because I have a physical, the stula, you know, this physical world. And then there's the sukshma world, the subtle world. Physical body, subtle body. Where's the pratibhijna? Who am I that I'm referring to when I say I am the one who is the waker, is the one who is the dreamer? Because all of the things you normally identify as you have been replaced. Definitely a different body, different sense organs, totally different upadhi, different relationships, different mind, different age, different universe, different situation. Who is it? Who is it that is the both the waker and the dreamer? You have to eliminate all of the experiences which negate each other. Right? And then when you go into the deep sleep, and that was I'm the deep sleeper also, then even knowership is negated. Again, the whole universe is negated in terms of not even being experienced. In the waking and the dream state, they're still experienced, they're just different worlds, right? And the upadhi, this body, mind, sense organs, is still being experienced, they're just different ones, right? And so that's shocking enough. That's shocking enough because I am the self of this body, and the one who is the self of this body is the self of this body, right? The one who is experiencing this world is now the one who is experiencing this world. So I have to give up every single thing that is not there found in both worlds. The only thing not there found and that's found there in both worlds is me. And that me is the Satchitatma, not the upadhis. The upadhis belong to Maya. Now you go to the deep sleep state. Who's there? The world definitely not there. The knower is not there. That's huge. I need to recognize, we can recognize more and more now in our contemplation also. I am self-evident, I am whole and complete, I am not a knower of anything, I simply am conscious being. And you know what? I really don't mind at all. There is no sense in that just being wholly me. There's no sense of loss. Oh no, I'm not a knower. You'd care less, because the wholeness, you are the very essence, the very self of the whole creation. The knowership belongs to the subject object. You need Maya. You need the Maya. The knowership is always only taking place in Maya, not in me. My being is free from all of that. And in the deep sleep, you see that. There's no knower known there. And you're relieved, actually. Swamiji will go on and on about Puja Swamiji. Swamiji probably does it too. How much time we take to make our bed nice. Mm-hmm. Our bed, our pillows, everything perfect, perfect temperature, so that I can blot out everything completely. It's a wonderful thing. You know, let me just make it perfect so I can just cuddle up in there and just totally enjoy myself. Myself is there to be totally enjoyed. That's my being. That's the ananda, the wholeness, the no problem at all. Everything is well with me. I get to go into that every night. All is well with me. Without any words, all is well with me. That's the Satchit Ananda. So this particular prakriya is so powerful, because if I start to really understand, anything that I can be without is not me, it's Maya. If I can be without it, it's not my swarupa, because I can be without it, and I'm not, it doesn't make me go into non-existence. So my my being is free from all of these things, you know. Okay, let's just meditate for a minute. And just on the fact of it, just be quiet for a minute. That's it. The next class I'll do the Anvaya Vyatireka that goes with this verse, but we'll do it at the next class and go on to the next verse. Okay.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha Harihi Om.